Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, your fast-paced video cast designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And we always feature entrepreneurs and special guests who tell their stories of entrepreneurship. And today with me is my special guest, Fletcher Brown, who is the CEO of the Business Enterprise Institute. Welcome, Fletcher. Thanks for being a guest.
Wayne, thank you for having me.
So first, tell us a little bit about how you got into exit planning and how you became the CEO of BEI. I know it's a story. Start at the beginning. Give us a little bit of background on that.
It is a story. It's a story that I never thought I would be able to write. It's a great story. It's one that I didn't think I would ever travel. It's an interesting path to get to this particular point. I think a lot of owners have had that same experience in their life. You know, the Business Enterprise Institute started out of my race car garage. And that's how I grew up. I grew up racing cars, decided to become a firefighter in an EMT because I can drive an ambulance quite fast at that particular time. And that's what I thought my life calling was. And the true life calling happened on a Thursday when the phone rang and I thought it was someone who wanted to sponsor me and picked it up. And it was my father. And he said, "Hey, I just wrote a book called How to Run Your Business So You Can Leave It in Style," which I think most owners have probably seen of or heard of. And he just wrote this book and he needed some place to store it. And what was interesting is that this book contains 7 steps for business owners to follow to successfully transition out of their company. And at the time, we called it exit planning. And so every time you hear that term exit planning, well, it was coined by my father, right? So he had been working on this process, massaging it through his estate planning practice. He was an estate planning attorney in Denver for 30 years and had written this book about 20 years before he published it. You know, as most authors do and writers, they sit down and they kind of toil away at it and tinker and play with each paragraph until it's just perfect, right? Wayne, you just wrote a book, so I'm sure you're very familiar with the challenges that come with writing.
It's tough.
So he wrote the book, right? And it contained 7 steps and he published it and he wanted every owner to understand that there is indeed a path. There's a path to achieving your objectives and living your best life.
So he shipped the books to you. Tell us a little bit about how that worked out. I mean, you've got a garage, you've got your race car, you're thinking maybe a couple of boxes.
Right. I'll just put them in the back next to some used race car tires. Why not? I can certainly store these, Dad. Sure. Not a problem, right? So wrap on the garage door, we roll it up the next day, and it's a semi-truck. It's got 16 pallets of books. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not, I didn't understand what my father was saying when he said, "Hey, can you store some books for me?" And that's really, that's how BEI, or Business Enterprise Institute, began. We began
wait
out
a
of
second, 16 pallets of books.
Yeah.
That's what, how many thousands of books?
I mean, there are, let's see. So there's 12 cases per row. There are 10 rows. So there's 120 cases, right? And there are 15 books in each case.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, somebody's got to do the math. That's more than I can do off of
That's
my fingers.
That's 1,800 times 16.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. That's a lot of books.
Right? It's a lot of books.
Yeah.
It's a lot of books. You know, and I mean, not to go too far off into the weeds, but at the time, this was before Amazon. This was before Barnes & Noble. This was at a time when, you know, the late 90s, when you wanted a book, you went down to your local mom and pop bookstore and you ordered a book. And so the reasoning behind this was to have the ability to ship out all of the books to all of the bookstores across the country who were ordering overnight. So overnight we'd come in and there'd be a fax with a list of 500 or 700 orders that we would fulfill that day and ship them all out. But it was interesting because we started shipping books and then our phone would ring and it would be a business owner who would say, "Well, I just read about the chapter that talked about motivating and retaining key employees. How do I do that? Because I don't want to lose my COO. Or I just read about the chapter that discussed ESOPs. What, tell me more about this. Or I just read about the chapter that said I can in fact transition this business to my two boys who are involved in the business. What are the steps to do that?" And so we started to receive phone calls. And from that, we put together material and a training program and a path. And we built BEI into what it is today, which is the world, the preeminent leader of exit planning knowledge and coaching to advisors and business owners. And so that is our entire purpose. We want to make sure that every owner understands that there's a path that you can travel that's based solely on your objectives
Right.
that will help you get to the end point, whatever that may look like for you, right? Because every owner is different.
I read the book back in probably 2000, 25 years ago, and it's a great book. And while it was written in the 1990s, it still has relevance today, and it really outlines the seven steps. So tell us about the seven steps of exit planning. As an exit planner myself and as a member of BEI, for full disclosure, I was attracted to BEI because of the book and because of the platform. And the advisors, by the way, are extraordinary. I've met, gone to the national conference, had an opportunity to speak there. The advisors are really top flight people all across the country who really focus on exit planning. When you talk about exit planning, and you talk about the seven steps. In summary, what are the seven steps?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the kind words. And I think that what's most unique about this process is that all of the advisors who incorporate the seven steps into their practice area share a common idea. And that is that they want an owner to benefit from their life's work. So nobody shows up with a preconceived idea or solution, right? We're not trying to take a round peg and shove it into a square hole here. And so that really encompasses the methodology or the idea behind the exit planning process, which is to first understand. So step one is to understand what are the owners, business owner, what are your desired exit objectives? And every owner has three core objectives, along with many others, but the three main objectives that every owner has are number one, how much longer do you want to work in the business versus operate it? So there's an ownership timeline and an operational timeline that we want to define. The second one is how much cash do you need to receive from the sale or transfer of your business to maintain your lifestyle indefinitely, right? So what's that total dollar amount? And the third one is who do you think you would like to transition your business to? And you can prioritize that list. Maybe it's I've got two kids and I'd like them to take over. But if they can't, maybe it's two kids and a key employee or two key employees. And so maybe there's some sort of management team and family buyout scenario that we can help facilitate. Or maybe that becomes too complicated and we can sell it to all of the employees through an ESOP. Or maybe that's not doesn't get us the dollars quite in a way that we want to or within a time frame. And so we can help go to market and sell the business to a third party, whether that's a strategic buyer or private equity or a financial buyer, whoever that may be. And so you can see there's a whole variety of potential transition paths here.
And that's step
And
one.
that's step one,
And
right? Yeah.
then
Step
step
one is
two,
really getting clear on what are your
what are your
objectives, right?
objectives? What are
Step
your
two is,
goals? Yeah.
yeah, what are your goals? What are your objectives? What are your goals? And then step two is, well, what do you have? What's the value of your business? What does the historical cash flow look like? What does the future cash flow look like? What's your existing personal assets? What does that dollar amount look like? And what we tend to find is there's a gap. There's a financial gap between what do I want in step one and what do I have in step two? And so step three naturally is, well, how do I grow business value, minimize risk, and transition management responsibility? And so
Which is a
if I
big
can do
step.
those, yeah, it's a
That's a
big, it,
big one. That's to
and it
me,
can take.
and as a practicing exit planner, I can tell you that one is, pretty easy to start to define, two a little bit harder. But when you hit step three, how do I grow the business to the point where I need to grow it so that I can exit? There's a lot of stuff that goes into that, isn't there?
There's a lot. There's a lot. Step three can take 6 months, it can take longer than that, right? And I think it's all dependent on how much value you need to create in order to hit your exit objective.
Right.
And so, value creation can come in a variety of different forms. But most commonly, what I think most owners want to do is see the value of their business grow and not do the work. So that means how do
Exactly.
I motivate and retain my key employees to work on a set of value drivers that we would help to identify and have those key employees implement the value drivers as the owner takes a step back and passes the responsibility to the key employees, right? And so that's in its simplest form, that's how we see most owners approach value creation. It's I want somebody else to do it and I want to reap the benefit. And frankly speaking, I totally understand it. I've been through that entire process with my father in my own experience through having come into BEI as John Brown's son and now worked all the way up to the leadership position, right? So I've experienced my own transition. I've seen it with my own clients outside of BEI and a consulting practice that I run. I've seen it with advisors inside of BEI. And so I think this growing value can be extremely transformative for owners to say, oh, I see it. I believe it. I can take a step back and I know that this business will continue without my daily involvement. Maybe it's weekly, maybe it's monthly, but it can happen.
Then you're creating what is called transferable value. So if the founder dies or the founder wants to stop working, there's something to transfer because a lot of my clients, a lot of your clients are entrepreneurs who really are in the business. And so they
That's
need
right.
to step aside and let others get in the business, take it from them. And it's hard for them to do that because they don't want to relinquish control. They don't want to give up that key, relationship that they have with their customers and their vendors and so on and so forth. And that to me is one of the biggest challenges for us as exit planners to convince the founders that, okay, now you've got to set a date. And by that date, you must exit. You really have to set a date. It's not, oh,
That's
I'll
right.
do it 10 years from now. And then 5 years from now, you say, I'll do it 10 years from now.
If
Doesn't work well that way, does it?
you keep kicking the can down the road, you keep kicking the can down the road. And what's interesting is when we talk about transferable value, really what that means is having a company that is able to run without you, the business owner, making daily decisions or weekly decisions. And so when we think about, well, who can purchase this business or buy this business, or who do you want to give this business to, whatever that transition path is, right? We do know that it's going to be more successful if you are not involved in the decision-making process on a daily or a weekly basis, because that tells us or any buyer that comes in that this company can operate without you. And so you very much are working yourself out of a job here. And that can be challenging to talk to business owners about. I know sometimes if you're not ready to hear that, you can put your hands up and say, forget it, I'm not there. But what's most important is to say, well, where's my community? Right? Is my do are do I have all of my relationships inside of the business? Are my relationships with my customers, with my vendors, with my management team? Or do I have relationships that are outside of the business, in my community, with my associations, or am I do I participate in, say, coaching programs or mentoring programs, or am I a member down at my local church or synagogue or whatever it may be, right? And I think that what's most important is for owners to find community outside of the business, because there's more to life than just working in the
Yes, sir.
business.
Yes, sir. And then there's steps four and five, which are dealing with actually transferring the business either to somebody on the inside or somebody on the outside, which is an important thing. And we'll get to, I have a question about that in a minute, but tell us about steps four and five, because those are the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Keys to the kingdom. That's right. Keys to the transfer. Step four is transitioning your business to a third party, and step five is transitioning your business to an insider. And ideally, you're picking one, right? It's whether it's an outsider or an insider. But to illustrate the point of transferable value, step four, a third party buyer is going to want to buy a business that you don't have to continue to be in. So they'll pay more money for a company where you do not have to be there. And so I think for a lot of the clients that I work with, their first question is, well, I'm not sure I want to work for anybody else. When somebody buys my business, I don't want to be an employee. How much longer do I have to be here? Is this a 12-month consulting contract? Is this a 12-month employment agreement? Is this a 24-month employment agreement? What does this look like? And so, what are the terms of that particular transaction? And we start to talk about the terms and how that applies to the owner's overall objectives, financial portion, their involvement, their ability to stay on or say maintain some control through that transition. And so that's step four. And of course, step five, going back to illustrating the point here, well, a bank is going to want to lend money to a buyer who can successfully run the business without the owner.
You got it. You got to
Right?
have transferable value. You've got to have people. I mean, if Junior is in the business, but he likes to take 3 days off a week to play golf or go sailing, it ain't going to work very well from a bank's perspective or from a
That's right.
lender's perspective, right? So,
That's right.
and from your perspective as the founder, it's not going to work very well either because the business may go down the tubes, which I've seen happen in the past because they relied on Junior, they had trust in Junior, and Junior didn't really want to be there or couldn't handle the responsibility or whatever. So it's a big challenge. And then there's step six and seven. Tell us
Step
about
six
those
and
real quick.
seven, that's right. So to me, the way I think about steps six and seven are backstops, right? Step
Yes, sir.
six is business continuity. What happens if something happens to you through this planning process, business owner? Because we still make the assumption that you want your family to benefit financially the same had you made it through the exit planning process as if you don't, right? And so that's an important conversation to have. What happens if something happens to you? More importantly, what happens if something happens to one of your key employees or to Junior who you want to take over this business?
Yep.
And if you're reliant upon the dollars from that sale or transfer and something happens to your key employees and now your exit plan's out the window, well, we don't want the value of the business to take a nosedive and we certainly don't want your time frame to change. And
Yep.
so continuity becomes very important to discuss with owners when it comes time to think about transferring business value, or even beforehand, when it comes time to think about what's the best way to motivate and retain key employees and to build business value. Well, if I need to build business value for 2 or 3 years, I don't want my key employee to go anywhere.
No, not at all. You've got to cement that relationship, put some golden handcuffs on him or something to keep them there. It's
Yeah.
absolutely critical. And developing a plan, a management succession plan, a business continuity plan that outlines all of that. And then last but not least, the estate planning, making sure that you've provided for your family and done it in a way that is seamless. That is seamless. Tell us about BEI itself. How many members are there? What kinds of services do you provide to the members? And why should advisors join your group as opposed to one of these other exit planning wannabes out there?
Great question. So I look at BEI and I think to myself, we create exit planning doers rather than exit planning talkers. And so it's very important for us to continue to be the leader in the industry around education, coaching, and understanding of a planning process. So what's the most efficient way to take an owner through a discovery and engagement process, through plan creation and through implementation? And how to set the right expectations so that every time you meet with your client walks away from the meeting saying, "This was fantastic. I can't believe we're on track. I can't believe that I see the light at the end of the tunnel, that I'm going to hit my exit objectives, and I'm going to be able to successfully transition out of this business." And so from our perspective, we want to make sure that we are the leader in providing those services and at the same time helping advisors develop better practice management skills and tools to be able to work with multiple owners at a time. Because exit planning, if you only do it once or twice or three times within your career, it can be challenging. It can be because it's comprehensive. There's so much to do.
Yes.
If you're not organized and if you don't have a good foundational set of knowledge to draw from.
So, how have you? What is your game plan for BEI now that you're the CEO? I mean, you've been involved with BEI for over 25 years, and you grew up in BEI, and you've become an exit planning expert across the country. You're known as one of the top exit planners in the country. Now that you're CEO of this organization, how do you see it changing? How do you see it morphing? And what services are you adding and, you know, providing not only for the members, but for potential clients of the members?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So I'll share a little story because I think this is something that my father's spoken to and has shared with most advisors that he comes in contact with. And certainly most, I think he's told the story to every single owner that he has worked with through his own planning practice. And that is, if family's involved inside of the business and they start early, make sure they leave and go work for somebody else for a period of time, because it's a very different experience for a family member to stay involved in the business from their early 20s up into their 40s and their 50s. If that's the only thing that they've seen, their vision can sometimes be limited.
Mm-hmm. And clouded so, too.
And that's right. That's right. Clouded, shaded, limited. You know, yep. you don't have the life experience to be able to see all of the moving parts and pieces around you.
You worked outside the business for a while, didn't you?
I did. It was the best thing that I've ever done.
Really?
Honest
what
to
did
God.
You do yep. outside the business before you came back?
So I worked in BEI for 15, 16 years, and then I started a second company that was in the food sampling business. So when you walked into Whole Foods or Sprouts or Natural Grocers, one of these organic markets, and you saw somebody handing out a sample of food, that person probably worked for us. We had 350 brand ambassadors all across the country. We did 1,000 in-store food sampling events a month, and it was quite successful. And then COVID came along. And it turns out nobody wanted to take a sample of food out of somebody else's hand during that period of time, right?
Let totally alone get within 6 feet of them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that business evaporated overnight. And that was also an experience to be had. And as that business evaporated, I started to spin up my own consulting practice, working directly with business owners to help them create exit plans so that they can transition out of their company, which is something that I've been clearly working through and training advisors on how to do that for 16 years. And now having my own ownership experience of success and overnight, I don't want to call it failure, but an overnight change of direction, that created a lot of experience. And so then coming into the table and working with owners through their own transitions was very helpful, because as I incorporated back into BEI, I now had the baseline level of knowledge of being a planning practitioner. What's the best way to go out and support a client? What are the needs? What are the needs of a planning advisor? How can we make BEI more adaptable and change our software that we have to make it more efficient through the planning process? So how can we show up and have members run multiple plans and have layers of project management in there? So as an exit planner, I'm not going to fall behind the eight ball and putting together an exit plan or showing up at the right meeting with the right deliverable at the right time.
Tell
That's
us about the
important.
Planet software that you guys have morphed and implemented recently, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So the software is I think fantastic. And I say that because I use it with my own clients. And what was so important for me to develop was a tool that I could quickly come back to and advance through a series of recommendations at each meeting as I present that to an owner. So a different way to say that is when we developed the exit planning process and timeline, you know, there's a set number of meetings that we want to have with every owner. And the reason why there's a set number of meetings is because we charge a project fee. And so we don't want the tail on the consulting dog to get too long. We don't like it because our project fee rate, you know, our hourly rate sort of dwindles out, becomes too low, right? And, yeah. And frankly speaking, the client doesn't like it because the client's right. saying, why are we meeting again? I thought we already talked about this. I thought we already made this decision. And I've been in that spot before, and it's frustrating when we have to go back and re-ask the same questions to get yes. clarity. And so the idea behind the software is to move through a series of drafts with an exit plan for an owner to make sure that we're capturing everything that they say they want to accomplish, and that we're now making recommendations and narrowing down the number of recommendations that we want to implement with the owner, so that when we get to implementation, We have 5, 10, 15 recommendations that are very easily implemented. We already know who the advisors are, who's on the advisor team, what's the start date, what's the end date. And then the owner says, well, this is great. I don't have to do anything. Right. And if we remember back to step three, growing business value, owners don't want to be involved in that. Well, most owners also don't want to be involved in the implementation of the recommendations. Sure. They just want to know what the status is.
Right. Right. Excellent. Excellent. So what's the future of BEI under your stewardship?
Yeah. Well, I think the future is quite bright. We are coming back to presenting monthly technical webcasts to our members. And so we have a level 101, which is an introduction to whatever that particular planning topic is, and a 201 where we take a deep dive. And so if you are new to the exit planning arena or field, 101 is a great place for you to start if you want to go deep with and expand your knowledge. 201 is a great place to continue to do that. That happens twice a month with all of our members. And then we also have ongoing coaching. So we have an exit planning coaching call that happens once a month. And the coaching is specifically designed to center around the exit planning process. And how do we continue to move the owner through the exit planning process from beginning to end so that the owner has the best experience possible? Because that's what the owner wants. That's what we want as the planner. We want to make sure that we have the right deliverable. And so the right deliverable comes from our software Planet. And we continue to update Planet to make it more efficient and to be able to look at it in a variety of different ways and to really use it as project management, right? So I think if I take a step back, if I'm an exit planner, you know, I really need three things. I need a very defined process to keep me on track and by way of keeping my owner on track so that I'm meeting their expectations. And I need a deliverable to give to them because I'm charging a fee, but I don't want to spend too much time recreating the wheel. So give me some software to help me present the deliverable. And at the same time, if I get stuck somewhere, I want some coaching or some training. And so I can pick up the telephone and call BEI and talk to anybody in no matter where I am in that exit planning process and get some support.
If folks want to get in touch with you, Fletcher, how do they get in touch with you to talk more about becoming a member of BEI or hiring one of the BEI advisors?
Yeah, the best place to start is to go to the website, exitplanning.com.
Wow, great URL.
Great URL. That's right. We're never getting rid of that. Exitplanning.com. And secondary to that, to send me an email, F Brown, right? My first initial and last name, F Brown at exitplanning.com. Be happy to talk with anybody.
Excellent. You've been a very special guest on Blueprint for Wealth today. Thank you for participating and telling us about not only the 7-step process, but your background and also the future of the Business Enterprise Institute. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you, Wayne, for the invite. It was my pleasure.
And stay tuned for more special guests on Blueprint for Wealth. We'll see you next time.